Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jeremiah Roberts, one of the co-hosts here at Cultish. If you're listening into the podcast and you've been wondering, looking for a way to help disentangle if you have experienced spiritual abuse, if you've come from of a background of a cult, a cultish group, oppressive legalism, we are going to be doing a part of a special conference in Simpsonville, Kentucky this upcoming July that we're very honored to be part of. It's hosted by Jennifer Brewer, who is one of our previous guests. Andrew, tell them about our appearance and what we're going to be talking about at this conference in July.
Absolutely. It's called the Called to Freedom Conference. And at this conference, there'll be table discussions, speeches. Jerry and I will be giving speeches as well. How to have a correct identity in Christ and also how to get into a good church. There's going to be inspiring testimonies of people thriving in Christ after hyperfundamentalism, panel discussions, and even a game night. And yeah, it's July 28th through 29th in Simpsonville, Kentucky. And it's titled, again, the Called to Freedom Conference 2023. And where can they go to sign up for this conference, Jerry?
Yeah, so if you're listening to the podcast, check out the description. We'll have links in our description. Go to that. If you use the passcode Cultish at checkout, you can get a substantial discount off of that ticket. Or if you are watching it on YouTube, you can go ahead and check out the link in the description. And if you use the passcode Cultish at checkout, you can get a substantial discount off of that ticket. Again, we are very excited because one of our missions at Cultish since inception is to help people who have experienced spiritual abuse, who have experienced that sort of oppressiveness from an oppressive background, whether it's legalism, whether it's a cultish activity. We want to help you disentangle versus deconstruct. That's been a huge passion of ours. We're going to be doing workshops. We're going to be doing some, like I said, public speaking events. Very excited about that. Like I said, check out the links in our description. All that being said, enjoy this long-awaited podcast with Ginger Duggar as she talks about her own disentanglement. Enjoy this podcast.
My name is Eddie, and I was in a cult.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they'll pay for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ.
But you're...
All right, welcome back to Cultish, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Jeremiah Roberts, one of the co-hosts here. Super excited about this episode. I'm here alongside my trusted co-host and super sleuth, Andrew, the super sleuth of the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to see you, Jerry. It's been a while.
Excellent. Well, I'm very excited. We have a guest with us today. We have Ginger Duggavolo with us today, and your husband is joining us. And remind me again of your husband's name.
This is Jeremy.
Jeremy. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for both for taking the time to come on. I know you've been making the rounds. I've seen you on Ally Beth Stuckey. You've been on Good Morning America. Really excited to talk to you about your new book. Real quickly, could you just, in case anyone like myself, maybe I'm the only person who hasn't seen the show that you grew up on, can you just give the quick LinkedIn bio kind of yourself, who you are, and also just talk just a little bit about your book, because that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast today.
Yeah, so thank you for having us. So a little bit about my story is I grew up on TV from the age of 10 until just a couple years ago. And so I lived a very public life, but also I was raised under the teachings of a man named Bill Gothard. And he taught a lot of things that were based on man-made rules and put in me a fear that was not healthy. It wasn't healthy fear of God, but it was just more of a terror of God, feeling like at any moment, if I step outside of this box, God is going to punish me for something, even if I didn't know I did something wrong. So I grew up under this like fear-based teaching. And it was interesting to like walk through that in the public eye as well, like pushing those principles from Bill Gothard. And so this book, Becoming Free Indeed, is a story of my faith journey and how I've had to disentangle truth from error on my way to finding freedom. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And it's very interesting. And look, when I listened to, I mentioned this to you before, just before we started, is that listening just to your interview on Ellie Beth Stuckey, like I had no, people started tagging me in your social media. When you started announcing the book, like I said, I had no idea who you even were. I had actually never watched the show. And so I was like, oh, who's this person about? And I didn't even know the specifics of what you were in. But then when it was Bill Gothard, it brought back a flood of memories just because I grew up in sort of the homeschool movement, purity culture. Like I'm a byproduct of that too. So I really resonate with a lot of what you said in your book. For anyone who doesn't know, could you just explain who Bill Gothard was and the kind of how he came to prominence? Talk about that, because you do talk about that in your book.
Yeah, Bill Gothard came on the scene in the 60s and 70s. He was promising families a guarantee for success. And this was in the middle of the time where parents were like trying to keep their kids from sex, drugs, rock and roll, the sexual revolution was happening. And they were like, how can we protect our kids, give them the best foundation for life? And so a lot of them were looking for an answer. And Bill Gothard came on the scene as the one with all the answers to life's questions. Mm. And so it was just a very simple recipe book. So if you put in this, you're going to get this outcome. So your kids will turn out if you follow these principles, or if you weren't married, you could follow these principles for dating, which wasn't dating. It was courtship at that time. So he would say, follow this for courtship to find your spouse, or if you're in financial troubles, follow my teachings. And those who I'm, you know, associating with, Jim Sammons, follow his teachings and you'll have financial freedom and God will bless your life, physically, spiritually, financially, really. Yeah. Like he would do, it was health, wealth, and prosperity. Mm-hmm. Even though I would have rejected that term, I would have definitely said, oh, we reject that.
Okay.
But that's really what it almost came down to.
Okay.
Go ahead, Andrew. Real quick, Jerry, how did his teachings spread back then? Because the internet wasn't really around. Was he just going from local church to local church and talking to pastors and being allowed to stand on the pulpit and teach? How exactly did that work?
So Bill Gothard would fill stadiums. He started out in small churches. So there were a couple people who would have him come share these basic youth conflict seminars. And then it just grew so quick that he started filling stadiums. So churches would send buses full of people down to these seminars to hear these teachings, because I think in a sense, like it was an interesting time. Like I said, that shift was happening. Parents were kind of freaking out. Like, what do we do? Our kids are getting mixed up in bad stuff, or how do we keep them from sin? So a lot of them were looking for these answers. And on the surface, these teachings looked really promising.
Yeah.
They seem based in scripture. When you listen to a couple things here and there, it's like, I see how he could use that verse. Maybe it's a little out of context. I'm not sure, but like it sounded plausible. And so a lot of parents got wrapped up in this teaching, sent their families there, pastors sending their churches to his teachings, to his seminars. But within those seminars, the interesting thing was, people would leave having made vows to God to, you know, not drink alcohol, to like avoid, you know, whatever it was, don't do birth control, you know, avoid debt, make single service commitments to God, to like not get married for a certain period of years. You know, it's like all these things that you would leave feeling like, wow, like I just made this vow to God because you thought it was based on scripture. And so his teaching started out kind of okay, but the further in you got, you realized, wow, this is really harmful.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt your programming, but this episode of the podcast is brought to you by StagsConsulting.com. Are you a small business owner or entrepreneur? if you are, you know the different hassles and headaches that come with trying to keep up to date with your accounting, bookkeeping, all that sort of stuff. Kyle and Sherry, they specialize in helping to deal with that, to take away the stress, the headaches, the uncertainty, to make sure you are fully compliant, and they have a lot of other services available. If you want to check them out, go to stagsconsulting.com/cultish. That's STAGGSconsulting.com to get a free consultation to help with your small business or venture. Now, back to the program. Yeah. What now, you said it was around 12 years old when the show started, 19 Kids and Counting.
When that show started, I was a little bit older, but whenever the TV side of things started, we had documentaries.
Okay.
On Discovery Health, and I was 10 when that started.
Right. But as far as like your entire upbringing, like your parents were into Bill Gothard's teachings from the moment, from the earliest moment.
Yes. That we were in Bill Gothard's teaching like all of my life. I was in it. My parents got introduced to it when they were newly married. Mm-hmm. So that was the foundation for raising all of us kids was Bill Gothard's teaching.
And what's your earliest memory of Bill Gothard specifically, anything that he taught? Because I know I remember what he told me, his teaching that like all of a sudden like resonated with me and made me very fearful. But for you, like, what was the very first thing that you heard him teach that was like, oh wow, this is something I need to really pay attention to? That would give an understanding of like his teaching and how he would come across to people or the appeal that he had at that time.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because since I was raised in it from before I could talk, I think his words were like the words of God to me. I thought some people around me would say, oh, I think he is a prophet sent from God to tell us this truth that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And I would have rejected that idea, like, as, you know, a teen, even. I would have thought like that would have been bad for anyone else. But because it was Bill Gothard, for some reason, I allowed that in my mind to think maybe he is a prophet sent from God to tell us the truth. So I don't know, like, one exact teaching. I mean, there were some things that were in my mind as I was figuring out, well, as a believer, once I was saved at the age of 14, I really genuinely wanted to please God. And I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I do that? Like, I want to know God more. I want to know the word of God better. And so a lot of those principles that I had been taught beforehand, before I was even saved, that became the focal point for me, because I thought, if this is how I'm going to please God, I'm going to lean in further to this. So I want to just get to know these principles better. I want to, make sure that I'm staying under authority. I think authority was probably the biggest thing for me. And authority, meaning like we all are under the authority of God, under the authority of, others that were, you know, working under whatever, but his view of authority was warped because it basically said that adult children, for however long you're in the home, you should stay in the home if you're a woman until you're married. So some people 40 years old, never married, you're not allowed to work outside the home. You need to serve your family at home until you're married. So a lot of those things I had in my mind. I also felt like if I didn't share every single thing with my parents, maybe I wasn't going to be okay. If I didn't, everything that was going on in my mind, or if I, there's a balance in all this, right? So like he would share elements of truth, like in honoring parents, but what does that mean? So like even once you're married, what does that mean to honor your parents? So he would take it further and he would twist and say, if you do anything, like if a girl was to get a job outside the home, then she, before she was married, or even if she was married, there's no room for that. So basically he would talk about umbrellas. And so he would say, God's up here, parents here, the girl's here. If she goes outside of that, if she's out from underneath her parents' protection, then she's directly opened up to Satan's attacks. There's no protection for you. So that was drilled into my mind. And I thought, for sure, that's truth. So I need to stay as far away from that as possible. people.
Yeah.
And so I was probably like one of the most sensitive people, I don't know, maybe in my family. So I was a rule follower. So if that was an inch on a skirt, I would be like, oh no, I can't sit down with this skirt on because, you know, it'll barely show like a quarter of my knee. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was like a legalist to the extreme because that's what Bill Gothard said would protect you. It would mm-hmm. provide protection for your life.
Yeah. And I think I heard this, I don't know, I tried to binge through as much content as I could on YouTube, just on Bill Gothard. I mean, other influencers besides yourself, people who, if I mention the names, you may know them. But one of the things I think I heard mentioned in passing was the fact that Bill Gothard claimed to have gotten these revelations when he would go out like and fast, like out in the woods or something of that nature. Yeah.
I believe so. I don't know exactly all of where he said he got it from. I know different times he would come back from his 40-day fast at the beginning of the year. Every year he would fast for 40 days. And so I know multiple times, like I would go have interactions with Bill Gothard whenever I would go to the North Woods, Michigan or to his headquarters. And he would have these revelations, which he would call Ramas, which were given to him from God. And so he would hold to that and say, well, I have this new teaching. So whenever we would go, we would kind of almost expect what is as we'd say, you know, Mr. Gothard, what is Mr. Gothard going to be on this time? Like what new revelation are you going to have? And so it would be something crazy. It would be like, you know, seven deadly stresses, or sins that cause stress and disease. And so he would go into how these diseases are caused by specific sins of like bitterness will cause this disease. And he would link everything. He was always coming up with something new.
Yeah. And just so you know, too, when you mentioned the authority like that visually, even like my mind's eye when I was maybe like 11 years old, when I went to the first seminar, like I know that slideshow. Well, it was always weird, too, that the seminar I went to, it wasn't him. It was just the video of him talking the whole time.
Yes.
It would, which honestly, all these years later, I'm like, that's kind of weird. I remember as a kid too, I was like, why doesn't he just show up here and talk to us? Why does he have to have a video going on? But maybe that was a way they're just trying to get his message out. You know, they started trying to utilize that technology. But just real quickly, and Andrew, I'm going to let you jump in here. One of my first experiences myself, you may get a crack out of this, is that my parents, you know, I love them. They did their best to raise me up in the admonition of the Lord. And I think at that time they had come out of the hippie 1970s movement. You know, they would go to Doors concerts and all this sort of stuff. They got saved and I think they definitely pendulum swung to be over, you know, protective and that sort of stuff. But I remember I had a secret affinity, like I had my own Walkman. I had a secret affinity for certain bands, specifically Van Halen. And so I remember listening in my headphones on the way to the Bill Gothard conference and listening to Van Halen, I think the song Panama. And like that day is when he started talking about the inherent evils of rock and roll music. And I was terrified. Like I put my headphones away. I put it in the bottom of my desk. I didn't even like touch it for like 3 weeks. I was afraid to listen to any music on the radio because he was talking about the different wavelengths and like house plants and like if you do the wrong, you know, because they would take, and also he took the scripture, you know, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So I thought that if I listened to any music, I was going to invoke demons on myself. And it wasn't until like 4 weeks later, I somehow managed to start listening to it again. But that just goes to show you like your interview initially, just it brought up so many memories like that. And so many other people resonate with that too.
Yeah, for sure. Because that kind of fear wrapped around like, it would be any, you know, kind of music with a certain beat or with drums, you know, that he would say that it was going to kill the houseplants. Yes. If you put this music there, it'll kill the houseplants and then it will bring demons. I remember one time I was in Central America with some friends and one of the people there on the trip was also in Bill Gothard's teaching. And one of the kids got up there and started drumming on these drums that were at this church.
Yeah.
And she comes running in, stop the drums. And they were like, what? Like, she's like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, it's going to call
like a
demons.
Nuclear reactor went off or something.
Yeah. Cause she was so afraid it was going to call demons. And it's so sad because that mindset, you become paranoid about everything around you to the point where, I mean, I shared this multiple times because it's so interesting, but like he would even say a picture on a wall could be bring you harm. Even a painting of it, like he talked about a sailboat. This woman, her husband and sons went out to sea. They died at sea. And this pastor comes in to talk to her and she's like, why did they die? And he said, it's because this picture of sailboats on your wall. Yeah. You shouldn't have that. That's why they died. They wanted to go to sea. They saw this picture, went to sea and died. It's your fault. So you start to think in that way about everything in your life.
Andrew, what are your thoughts right now, man?
Yeah, it kind of leads into this question, actually. Like, how did you view the outside world, Ginger, and other Christians who weren't submissive to Bill Gothard's teachings? Because I know a lot of times when people grow up in like a legalistic type of culture, there can be almost like a separation between the two. And it sounds like to me, like Bill Gothard doesn't allow for like a personal conviction given from the person, but it's more of like his revelations that become convictions for others. How does that dynamic work inside a large family as well? Because you have to live peaceably among a large family, but it seems like that can be really stressful, like a stressful environment. So it's kind of like a twofold question.
Yeah, because I think whenever you look at all of his followers, everyone has the same convictions about everything, which is something that Jeremy will talk about. Yeah. He noticed that right away. We'll have to get into that because it's interesting. Like I view the outside world as kind of like, okay, I want to reach them. I want to share these principles with the world because this is going to help. And so if I saw a Christian who was walking with Jesus, I had some friends who were like walking with Jesus, but they did things differently. They listened to music with drums. They would wear pants. They wouldn't, you know, have as many kids as possible, things like that. But look at them and be like, they just don't know. But wait until their kids start to rebel. Then they'll come to Bill Gothard for all the answers to help their rebelling kids because it's guaranteed success for their kids. So I would kind of look and like judge anyone outside, but also realize like, okay, people can still be Christians outside of this, but they just won't have success. And so I would look at the outside world as well and be kind of scared of like influences, scared of being around anyone too long who wasn't exactly like me in my convictions. And it is interesting because within the family setting, I think we all had this mindset of like, okay, we want to abide by these principles. So I had a very happy childhood. Although inwardly, like all the things I was wrestling with so much fear and a wrong view of God, but my parents like sought to point us kids to Jesus as the answer and never said it was about works. But although Bill Gothard's teaching, he would say, like he said in one of his seminars, before you come to Jesus, you need to clean up this mess. So do these steps and then come to Jesus, which is just like, I could not believe what I heard when I was listening to these seminars years after coming out of it. I was like, how could I ever say that was okay? Because I never believed that salvation was something you could do besides prayer. But it's like, I always like thought that was like, okay, I guess, listening to those teachings each year. So it was so shocking for me to go back and listen and say like, wait, what did he say? This is so terrible. Yeah. And as far as like Jeremy, it was interesting when he had just visited a seminar or not a seminar, sorry, a conference in Big Sandy where my brother-in-law, he met my brother-in-law who was in the same theology as Jer. So Jer shows up at this thing. He rolls up to see my brother-in-law having no clue about Bill Gothard, no clue about what this conference was. And he shows up. And I'll let him talk about that. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was just, it was like, you asked about convictions and how did people, it was interesting. Everyone had the exact same convictions about everything. And it wasn't like I was showing up to like, you know, some conference where, you know, it's like, you'd expect that, like, you know, a five solas conference. It's like, okay, everybody's going to believe in the five solas here, right? Like this was okay, just a family conference. So this is all the families come to hang out every spring. And I'm looking around going pretty quickly, like, wow, everyone has the same convictions about having as many kids, about money, about clothes, about music, about food, about entertainment. And so I would ask, and they'd be like, well, this is just God has just convicted me of this. This is my personal conviction. Yeah. I'm going, that's interesting, because every other person
has the exact
on issues, by the way, which are not spoken to in scripture or just peripherally. Like, oh, there's one verse that you've interpreted this way.
Yeah.
And I noticed pretty quickly, like, and I think this will go into some of the deeper issues too, of like why I started to feel like this was problematic, was I saw a ministry whose foundational building blocks, like the foundation of the ministry, A, wasn't Christ, and then B, were issues that scripture speaks nothing or hardly on.
Yeah.
And so I started realizing, okay, so something else is forming these people's convictions, even though I think genuinely they believe it is their spirit wrought conviction. Like, I think they think, but something else is at play here other than the word of God.
Yeah. And yeah, and I just want to say this too, because even like me looking back all these years later and thinking of the families that I knew that were in ATI, that's what it became. Initially it was the Institute for Basic Youth Conflicts, and then it became ATI.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny because that just all these memories here, but like the families that even I knew, like I still love and have so much respect for them to this day. And I think that's, at least for me, I think it'd be good to important, at least clarify, is that like your parents, I think so many others who are into Bill Gothard's teachings, like they had the right motives. They saw, you know, what was going on in the world and was like, man, I need to try and protect my kids from this and train them in a better way. But sometimes people tend to overcorrect for sure. Jeremy, I got a question. First of all, how did you meet Ginger? And like, how did you guys meet? And then what was it? Was it all of a sudden it's like, oh, do I date her? Do I court her? How does this work? Like, explain the process for me too, because we're going to talk about, you know, what we talk about in your book.
So the short version, basically, I was living in San Antonio, Texas, and I was playing professional soccer, but had an eye on the ministry. So I was actually living with a local pastor there.
Okay.
And his family would watch the show 19 Kids and Counting at times. And I was a pretty big critic of it. I just thought, you know, just kiddingly, like, I just thought, what is this reality stuff? And so one day I'm coming home. I lived with, at that point I had moved out, and I lived with a few guys in the church there. And someone calls me and says, you'll never guess who's at your house. Because every Sunday night we'd have a little get together kind of. And say, Ben and Jessa Seawald. And I'm like, okay, like rings a bell. So I walk in and I think, I don't remember if I like recognized them immediately or not, but I definitely was familiar because the pastor's family had watched the show. So I just start talking to Ben, and Ben and I just hit it off. Like we were just two guys, and he was interested because I was preaching a lot at the time and he wanted to go into ministry. And so he actually said, hey man, let me get your number. And over the next few weeks, we just kind of kept in touch. And he invited me out to, so I was in Texas, I was on the border of Mexico, or just 2.5, San Antonio, but I'd also preach in Laredo, Texas. He invited me out to this family conference in Dallas, so about, I don't know, 5-6 hours away. And just to hang out with him, his wife, Jessa, for a couple of days. So I thought, why not, you know? So went up there, and that's when I met Ginger. And so that was the start of 2015. It wasn't until like December of 2015 that we really showed interest and like started to talk. And that's why I went to her dad and asked his permission if I could just get to know her. And so we did this whole like the courting process. And that was, you know, a different world for me. I grew up in sort of the Reformed Baptist world.
And yeah, so me too.
We got touched on the fringes by like the Josh Harris stuff. And like, but Ginger was far more familiar with like purity culture and all that.
Yeah.
I was a little bit, but I didn't know really what courting entailed. And so anyway, that's kind of how we met. But my first time like entering her world was just rolling up to that big Sandy conference. And it was like, I mean, it was like stepping into a utopia. Like all of a sudden you're on the secular highway, you turn into this campus,
yeah,
and you've entered like the Holy Land, and people are happy. People are it's like a communal group, you know, and yeah. people are coming with you just over the moon and really sweet people. That's something that I know, Jeremiah, you mentioned a minute ago, and like so many in that setting love Jesus genuinely and like yeah. are pursuing. I think, which is why, and I know just as Ginger shared her heart with me, she's felt such a responsibility to not come after them, like not yeah. to speak negatively about, but to get after Bill Gothard for the dangerous teachings that honestly is harming those yeah. genuinely loving, you know, people who are pursuing holiness, pursuing Christ. Now, of course, there's some amongst there who don't as well, but
yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of shocking. And I think I immediately called my dad, like maybe a couple days later, and my dad had attended some Bill Gothard conferences. So he was somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
But he left, I think, a couple days in.
Yeah, he hadn't, it never stuck with him. It was,
yeah.
It kind of took over, right?
Yeah, it is interesting because I think some people go to a couple seminars and they're like, no, I don't think I want to go back because they kind of, like they have the word of God to right. that's enough. And so I think when he starts to go further and further,
he swept the nation. Like,
yeah,
it really was.
Tons of people sent their churches there. Even if they were like solid churches, they still would send their people there thinking, okay, this guy sounds really good. Mm-hmm. And he's so popular now. And so it's just really sad.
I've talked to a lot of pastors over the years who are like, they attended two or three because it was sweeping kind of the country. And then something, they pick something up and go, whoa, what is, like, it doesn't pass like the biblical sniff test. Like they're like, something's off here. So they just kind of casually like move on. But yeah, so my dad was kind of in that boat, like, oh yeah, I attended a couple. And so, but he really didn't have much knowledge about it either. So it took a while for me to kind of understand setting.
Hey, what's up, everyone? We love that you are enjoying our content on a weekly basis, but this program cannot continue and wouldn't be possible without your support. So if you want to go to thecultistshow.com, there is a donate tab. You can either support us one time or you can become a monthly partner with us that will allow us to continue this program, allow us to continue to be salt and light to the kingdom of the cults. So please go to thecultistshow.com/donate and you can support us one time or monthly. Also, make sure you check out our merchandise store. Go to shopcultish.com. You can see all of our great designs. A lot of you have gotten merchandise from us already. So again, either go to shopcultish.com and check out all the awesome merch. Back to the show.
Yeah, and also, I appreciate that, man. And also, Andrew, I'm going to let you jump here in a second. But just so the process was, Ginger, you talked about in your book, and you guys can both elaborate on this together, that it was... In the process, you know, you made the decision you want to pursue her, specifically in courtship. And I grew up in that world too. Like I went to several Josh Harris, you know, seminars, but even pre I Kiss Dating Goodbye, when he was just in that world, like he was sort of, I call him like the Justin Timberlake of homeschooling. but yeah, that's like the way I describe him. But you know, that in that world, like you have to go through the parents and you go through this very supervised, process, you know, to pursue marriage. Talk about that. But also you said the prerequisite is that you had to consume roughly 60 hours of Bill Gothard's teaching and content as a prerequisite, right?
Yeah, I was asked to go through the seminars and listen to those. And I'm really glad I did because it gave me like a really helpful understanding of Ginger's worldview and where she was coming from. And it also facilitated really helpful conversations. But I started listening to the seminars, started taking notes on those. Every week was taking in the Bill Gothard lectures.
It really is crazy though, because I think that was the biggest blessing from God really is that he did understand. He started to understand, for one, that he didn't know when he got into this what it was, because that would have been enough for him to be like, bad theology, I'm out. But he knew that I love Jesus and I had a commitment to the word of God. So that was enough for him to, like, once he realized what it was, he was like, well, if she's convinced by the word of God about something, I think that, she's going to follow Jesus. So he could see through, which was, it was just, the providence, the mercy of God, that that was the path that we walked, because it was crazy. So like when he gets into these teachings, it's crazy. He just starts to see more and more of how damaging it is. But that was only after he.
Well, I'd gotten to see her heart. I got to see who this incredible woman was. And once I met her and then started to see her humility, her compassion for others, her love, I'm falling in love with this girl. then realizing as I'm falling in love with this girl, I'm realizing some of the theology.
Yeah.
But then as I'm interacting with her, realizing I honestly felt like if I follow Jesus through his word, I think her heart, from everything I'm learning and seeing, she just wants to follow Jesus through his word.
Yeah.
And so it gave me a confidence, her ultimate allegiance, as you see today, and as you read in her book, her ultimate allegiance is to Christ. And so she may be helped by a teacher. She may be helped by, God gives gifts to his church of preachers and evangelists, pastors, teachers. Great. But her ultimate allegiance isn't Paul or Apollos. It's following Christ. And I saw that early on, which she alluded to a second ago. I think I could have probably been scared away by Gothard, because you start listening and you start going, wait, what did you believe? You believe this? What did he say? But then as we would interact on it, she wanted to be challenged and she wanted to go to the Word of God. And so that just gave me it confirmed what I was already seeing. This girl's rock solid. She loves Christ and wants to follow.
It's interesting too, because at the same time, Jeremy is an outsider, right? He's from a different world, and there could be a lot of fear there, marrying somebody who doesn't perfectly align with what you see in scripture, and being afraid of okay, well, when we're raising kids, are we going to have major differences in this? Because we talk through all that, but it's still in your mind. It's the fear of scripture being enough, really, and trusting in God and trusting in his work in us. And so Jeremy, it was interesting. Whenever I was talking to my mom, I remember we came back from a missions trip where he was on a mission to get to know me better there. And I was there to be on a missions trip, share the gospel. No, I'm kidding.
So, you went on a missions trip, but I had my mission that I...
it was interesting, because when I came back from that, though, I told my mom, I said, this guy, I said, I feel like he just... I feel safe with him in this sense. I feel safe with him, not because of any outward things, or he says the right things, he does the right things, but he has a heart that loves Jesus and he's committed to the Word of God. That's his authority. So that was where I felt safe, because I always had this fear. I think especially through a lot that I walked through, am I going to find someone who I'll feel safe with? Because it is, in this world, you see so many marriages breaking up and ending in terrible tragedy, and people turning out to not be who they say they are. And so in that, I told him, I said, I feel safe with Jer. And so that was something that God gave me really early on, to where I knew, okay, I see his commitment to the Bible. I see that he loves Jesus, and I'm not afraid anymore. Because I think that fear had really gripped me. And especially in Gothard's teaching, you're so taught that okay, everybody has to be the same or you're not going to be okay, which is just not true. And so many of my friends, I think, fell into that and were afraid to stand up for, let the Word of God speak for itself, and let, don't feel like you have to impose, even parenting and all of these decisions you're going to make throughout life together, that God's Word is sufficient. And so I could see that, even though I may have not believed it at that point entirely. I was still scared in a sense of the later on decisions of parenting or life together.
Yeah.
But I knew this man loved Jesus.
Wow. Andrew, what questions do you have? What's in your mind?
It's amazing to see God's sovereignty in his hand, that holds his people throughout their lives, Jeremy being brought into Ginger's life here during a time where people are deconstructing really from the faith, but it seems like God placed you in her life to go through disentanglement instead of deconstruction. So I want to hear a little bit about how that dynamic happened within your guys's relationship, And really where, Ginger, when did you start having doubts in Bill Gothard? And when did you start feeling that you were becoming free in Christ? Like when Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. And how was Jeremy involved in that? I'd love to hear that from both of you.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like we said, when we were going through those teachings together, we would start a seminar. Jared start one, and we were on Zoom because we're long distance and stuff. But he would like start a seminar, it wasn't Zoom. Was there Zoom? But anyhow, it was interesting because he would start the seminar, and then he would pause it, and he'd be like, "Wait, what did he say? And is this based in the Bible?" And it was interesting because the second he said, "Bill Gothard is not a Bible teacher," I was like, whoa, well,
that's
hold on a second. But
the conversation that was early on, because she asked me, she said, "So what do you've been listening to all these lectures. What do you think about him? And I said, at that point, I was pretty fresh in. So I was still kind of trying to find my way through, but I just said, he's got some interesting things to say about like humanism and like, cause that he really did attack in his advanced seminars. He attacks humanism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a fatalistic, you know, kind of nihilistic, you know, thought and very,
which isn't a bad thing.
No. It's like a very hope draining, like people who are ingesting humanism are hopeless. Like, so he's attacking that. So I'm listening to this stuff going, okay. But I told her, I was like, he's not, you know, he's got some interesting things to say, but he's not a Bible teacher. Like he's not working through the Word of God and like handling scripture. And for her, that was like,
yeah, it kind of was something that in our minds you never say because it's always protected. You protect this mindset, Bill Gothard being a prophet from God. So once that kind of was out of my mind, I think just going to the Word of God for myself for really the first time with these teachings, because I thought I had done that, but I hadn't. And so the second he would say something, we'd pause it. It felt like every 30 seconds we were pausing this thing. I mean, it could be every 10 seconds because of the amount of stuff that was totally opinion-based, not based in scripture. And it was interesting because that was like an aha moment, I guess you'd say. But like the Lord was opening my eyes to see that this teaching is not what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
And so that was freeing for me, but it took so many years to slowly like walk out of that. And like you just said, like disentangling, you know, versus deconstructing.
Yeah.
So many people today have grown up in settings where a teacher claimed to speak for God, but didn't. And they will come out of that, you know, burned by the church, burned by anybody who claims to speak or teach something that is based in the Bible or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they will tear their faith down to the studs, never to build it up again. And that's what we see time and time again happening.
Yeah.
And it's so sad and it's very heartbreaking. And I think a lot of people may use that term deconstruction in a way where they're saying like exactly what, you know, my journey has been, because they're like, what word do I use? You know, so they'll use it. But I think sadly that has happened so many times where it's like, what do I do? I've been burned, or I've been confused about what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
So they just tear the big part. But disentangling, this journey has been one of seeing what, okay, God's word actually says. And I share this illustration because it's like, if you get putty stuck in your hair, you can just shave your head, cut off the putty, or you can take the time to pick out the putty, even if it takes all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow process. It's painful process, but it's necessary. And so I see that as what my journey has been like. It's been difficult because there are days where, you know, I'll think about like, we have a 4 and 2 year old and I'm like, okay, I know what these principles are that I would do this. It's like a guarantee for success. And you can think about that. And it's scarier having to walk out of these things and say the Bible is sufficient, because then relying on the Word of God, you're relying on the Holy Spirit too for like convictions, things like that, where I want to glorify God. And so what does that look like? I'm not going to trust in a man's opinion to say this is going to guarantee my kid's success, guarantee they're going to love Jesus.
Yeah,
like that can feel really safe, but it's not the safe answer.
Right.
The Word of God is trustworthy. And so so that's been my journey.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt this interview with Ginger, but we also want to remind you very quickly about the conference we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. If you go to the link in the podcast description, whether on the podcast or on YouTube, you can find out about this conference that'll be taking place in Simpsonville, Kentucky at the end of July. Andrew, real quickly tell them about the conference and why they should go, then we'll get them back to the interview with Ginger.
Absolutely. The conference is going to be a powerful conference. It's going to help us find our identity in Christ, especially if you're coming out of a legalistic group, and how to get into a church, and that you should get into a local body. There's going to be public speaking. There's also going to be table discussions, panel discussions, and even some workshops. So we're extremely excited about that. And you can go and check the link at the bottom of the description, and you can go there and enter in Cultish to get a significant discount off your tickets.
Yeah, so we want to help you disentangle if that's been part of your journey. That being said, enjoy the rest of our interview with Ginger as she shares with us the process of her disentanglement. Enjoy the podcast. No, thank you for sharing that. And one thing I want to talk about, because a big thing that Bill Gothard did emphasize, what we mentioned earlier, was the aspect of authority. That also would mean the authority of his teachings, because he had special insight that you spoke with authority from. In the process, Ginger, as you know, you're talking with Jeremy, and you're kind of going through this whole process of trying to rethink everything. Was there any, would you say there might have been like any sort of like duality between like reading what the Bible actually says versus trying to disentangle yourself from the fear that you actually were going against authority by measuring Bill Gothard's teachings against the Word of God? And if so, like, could you explain what that looked like for you?
Yeah, it is interesting, because I think in that time, I was more excited seeing that these teachings were not based in the Bible, because it kind of made sense. Like, if you're promised a guarantee for success, and then things around you, like we walk through difficulties in situations where, you know, not all of my siblings did turn out as I thought they would. And it was hard for me to see that. But I think this also gave answers to the why behind it. It's like not every thing in your life is going to go just as you think it should. And even that, like, gave answers, you know, for me, and in realizing God's word is trustworthy. It just showed me more and more of the character and nature of who God is, and his word is true. So for me, there was a bit of fear in that time where I could feel like this tension, right? Like, I see this is true, and I see that Bill Gothard's teachings aren't. But at the same time, the authority thing, yeah, it was something in my mind, because it still is like, you have that so ingrained in you that you think that if I question these teachings, Bill Gothard would have said himself that once you hear these teachings, you need to examine them by the word of God. Once you see that this is true, then you need to follow these principles. And it would have been better, he said it would have been better for you to not hear these teachings than to hear these teachings that I've taught you and depart from them.
Yeah.
So that's what was in my mind. And that fear still was there in that sense, but I had to, like, it's just renewing my mind with truth, renewing my mind with the word of God on a daily basis. And I still have to do that to this day, because those things that were just so deep in who I am and the way I process things or don't process them was something that I had to, like, work through. And but realizing that, I think getting in my mind who God actually is, that he's not just waiting to smite his children at every turn for any sin or unknown sin that they may have done against him, or any principle that they may have broken unknowingly, that he's not just waiting to get me. He's a loving heavenly father. And that's something that had to shift in my mind, is God as a loving heavenly father.
Yeah. Jeremy, I see you. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. What I get the picture of is that we keep talking about authority, and there's that one that we were mentioning earlier with the umbrellas. We have a big God umbrella, then we have the husband, the wife, and the children underneath that, all umbrellas, that stack. But what it seems like with Bill Gothard is there's a little invisible umbrella between God and husband, right? And then, so he's filtering the word of God and then pouring that down and taking authority over the whole family. It's a Bill Gothard authority. But what I find interesting in your guys' life with your dynamic is that God actually used authority in a correct biblical way, right? He, like, brought Jeremy into your lives, which is still the man over the wife protecting, right? But then leading you to remove that invisible umbrella so both of you are submissive to the word of God, which is quite phenomenal to me, because there's still an authority structure shown in the Bible, but what God did in your life is he showed you the proper realm of authority in terms of the being submissive to the word of God. I love that. I love hearing that. It's a great thing, and I think it can give a lot of people hope today. Wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I resonate, and kind of hearing that too, just seeing how the Lord has used us in each other's lives, Ginger and I, like true authority. The one time Jesus says, follow my example, to his disciples, we're told to follow Jesus' example, but the one time it comes out of his mouth is when he's on the ground washing their feet. Servant leadership is authority, is not ruling by power or lording over. How many times are pastors warned? 1 Peter 5, do not lord over your congregation.
Yeah.
You are a servant. And you see, Christ did not drag in leadership. He came alongside. And that's something that I found myself over the years, Ginger and I having a lot of conversations, and I think Bill Gothard missed this entirely, is the believer's union with Christ.
Yeah.
Like I was over and over just trying to remind Ginger, like, no. You have to understand how God sees you. He sees you in Christ.
Yeah.
So unless he's not rejoicing in Christ today, then he's rejoicing in you, because he sees you how he sees his son.
Yeah.
And so you're perfect in him. If you're united to Jesus Christ, you are loved, embraced, accepted. Now there's the Hebrews 12 reality of like, yeah, of course he loves you, so he's going to discipline you like a father disciplines his kid who runs out in the middle of the street. Like, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
It's vastly different than this idea of authority, which was so, and Ginger talks about this a lot in your book, but she's just expressed like so much superstition in her life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get torched if I do something I don't even know I'm not supposed to do, which is not how, I mean, does any father operate that way? Like, just wait for your kids to wake up, watch them. They do something that you never told them about, and all of a sudden you come down hard and disciplined. Like, what a wicked way to view fatherhood and authority.
And
so it's just an abuse of,
This episode is brought to you by Apologia Studios. Cultish would not be possible if it wasn't for Apologia Studios, where we film our show and record our show out of. So if you want to support the studio, which will allow Cultish to remain weekly content for you to enjoy, please go to apologiastudios.com. You can become an all-access member, and that will support the studio, which will allow Cultish to be a possibility for you to enjoy on a weekly basis. Now, back to the episode.
So, I mean, we're talking a lot about authority. That was a really huge emphasis on Bill Gothard's teaching. And again, man, that visual of the umbrella, like I remember in my mind's eye, even though I haven't looked at it in decades. What authority did Bill Gothard submit himself to? Is this something, did he practice what he taught?
No, sadly, as far as I know, he didn't have anyone that he was submitting himself to or accountable to.
No elders or biblical pastors.
Maybe for a season he was at a church, but I don't think he was submitting himself to a local church or having other elders around. So he was this authority for everyone, and he wasn't accountable to anyone I knew of. And it's sad to see, because you can go so far with that. But
what's interesting, sorry, love.
No, and just deceive so many people too, and have no one to who you'll listen to.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what's interesting is that echoes down into his adherence as well. Mm-hmm. So like the model of Bill Gothard's basically having like ultimate authority for those men that come and follow him, that they're taking that same model and exercising in their spheres of influence, really finding no one to be have an authority over them and exercising extreme authority. So,
oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it always seems like too, just if you can speak in generally with cults of personality, whether it's a cult leader like Jim Jones, or you know, whether it's a politician, it always seems to be like rules for thee, not for me. For sure. And that's, you know, one thing that was very interesting too, is that, you know, Bill Gothard had all this emphasis, I mean, for your family of 19 children. And this is from somebody who had never been married, had never had any children of his own, but yet he had all of the answers exactly how to raise your children, how to teach every single aspect of that. Did you ever see like a conflict of interest there? You ever thought growing up? Because I remember even me when I was 11 years old, I heard somewhere that he's not married and he doesn't have any kids. So I was thinking, even as a 12-year-old in my brain, I'm like, don't you have to have some kids? I mean, I'm the second oldest of a big family too. I'm the second oldest of seven. So, you know, my parents weren't perfect, but my dad at least had some experience. But this guy who has no kids, we need to listen to him. It seemed, even as a 12-year-old, I was like, something's off here.
Yeah, it is interesting. Looking back, I could see that as being a problem. But initially, no, I didn't even think about it because I think that's part of my mindset. Like I said, I was so blind to like just following everything that this man said, thinking he was the prophet sent from God. And so whether he had kids or not, I was going to do what he said to do with kids. It's the mindset is so interesting. And as interestingly enough, like even as young kids, like I thought I had all the answers. At 14, I would like judge families whose families were falling apart. And I was like, you just need to fix things up here and there, like take out the rock music. Have your kids all live at home forever. Yeah. It was in my mind, like I had all the answers at 14, just as Bill Gothard had all the answers.
As far as like your book, I'm assuming you've been getting feedback from the book as you've been kind of making the media rounds and people are saying, wow, this really resonated with you. Are you getting that not just from people inside Bill Gothard and ATI, but there's a lot of groups, even like fundamentalist groups, like even you mentioned Jeremy too, even I grew up in the Reformed Baptist world as well too. And there are, I got a small taste, a little bit of some of the fundamentalism. Have you had like people that were in like similar movements that were like, wow, this has really resonated with me. This has struck a chord. Just tell us about that. Like the feedback that you've been getting so far from your book and how are people receiving it?
Yeah, it has been encouraging to hear stories of those who, like you said, are outside of this IBLP, ATI world. And they've been so negatively affected by, like I said, a teacher who claims to speak for God but doesn't. Yeah. I think there's this that sadly happens a lot, even within churches, and things slip in, or maybe there's a new seminar that comes out and everybody feels like it's the answer. And a lot of well-meaning Christians get wrapped up in that. And I think that's where the whole story of this book is, just the importance of us being committed to the Bible and letting the word of God speak for itself. Because I think when we get wrapped up in this teaching where someone has an answer, that's where you see the problems unfold. And so I've heard so many stories from people who have been outside of this setting, but have had the very similar lives to me. And have been helped by the book, by God's grace, like been able to see through, like, man, I'm still in this place where I view God as a taskmaster instead of as a loving father. And I'm a Christian who loves Jesus, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And just, it's such a difficult thing to process. And so I'm really, really grateful for the feedback so far.
Yeah. And one thing is, go ahead, Andrew.
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the things I just want to ask you on, I really appreciate you guys taking going out of your way to make the time to talk to us today, is that in this whole world, like you disentangled, so many have deconstructed. I hear the stories of, you know, Bill Gothard, and, you know, you do talk briefly in this book about, you know, some of the accusations that went against him, but there's just a lot of pain, a lot of harm. And I've seen it. I mean, I talk with people from Rig of the Bases out of all sorts of different similar movements. I mean, the hat that I'm wearing right now says bad theology hurts people. A lot of people, they overcorrect from these harmful teachings and they deconstruct. They totally walk away from the faith. And I really like to think about what Walter Martin said when he said the existence of a counterfeit predicates the authenticity of an original. And I know that there's a lot of people who know you who are in the who grew up in the Bill Gothard movement and similar movements. And if somebody has really, if they've been like, are jaded, are considering walking away from the faith or have deconstructed, like if you're sitting across the table with them, like how, what would you say to them? Kind of giving your vantage point, which is very unique.
I would say I would want them to know that Jesus is a kind and loving savior. They can run to him. And I think even in that brokenness and pain, confusion, hurt, even those who have been harmed by like a teacher who has said something or done something really hurtful within in the name of Jesus,
right?
They would run to the word of God and run to Jesus because he is there. And he is, I think, as believers, for them to see, like Jared said, the union with Christ being a beautiful picture that I think so many sadly haven't been able to see because they've been taught that as a believer that anytime they step outside of a box, they're going to be hit. They're going to, Jesus is waiting to get them. God's waiting to smack them at any turn. That's just such a difficult thing to like come out of, and to see the union with Christ as a beautiful thing that we can grow in relationship with God. And there's no, you know, people will always let us down and hurt us within the church, outside the church, anywhere. Yeah. But Jesus is the only one that we can run to and find our hope in God, because this world is full of pain and hardship. And that is the only answer for us, is to run to the cross, to run to us, even in spite of all the difficulties that you've walked through.
Yeah. And as we wrap up here, and Andrew, I'll let you have any final thoughts as well too, but one of my favorite scriptures, and I actually thought of this as I was listening to the very, I think it was the final chapter of your book, and it was 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear, has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Given the entire linear timeline of your story, from the very young age, being, you know, looking up to Bill Gothard like this reverent, you know, prophet who had special insight from God that no one else had, to going through being on 19 Kids and Counting, and then going through this whole disentangling process, you know, through the help of the Lord and also through your husband Jeremy, who's sitting right next to you. Could you sum up that verse? What does that mean to you right now, given everything that you've been through in your entire life? How does that resonate with you?
It's such a beautiful reminder. And I have to remind myself of that every day, because I think this journey of life, like it's difficult. It's been difficult, the stuff that I've walked through, but just realizing like, okay, the hope that I have in Jesus, the security, and there is no one else on this planet, no one else ever that could give us such hope and peace and joy in life, in spite of what you've walked through. And so that truth of God's word is what I cling to every day. And so I would hope that those who are outside of that, those who have wrestled and struggled throughout whatever they've walked through, if it's worse than I've walked through, and or if they've just had small bits of that they would come to know that that same truth, because Jesus is my only hope. And I'm just so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to be able to sit here and talk with you and for that to be my story by the grace of God. So grateful.
Awesome. And Andrew, do you have any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
I just praise God. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:28, right? God works all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that's exactly what we're hearing today. He loves you. He has you. Even in the midst of bad teaching, he will keep you away, right? There'll be pain. There will be suffering. But again, it'll be for your good, for his glory in the long run, like Joseph's brothers throwing him in the pit. Well, God used it to bring about his purposes, to save the Hebrews and bring about the Messiah who brings us salvation. So praise God for that. And also, guys, before we end, can you tell everyone the name of your book and where they can get it as well?
Yes, my book is Becoming Free Indeed, and you can get it wherever books are sold, or you can go to our website, Ginger, J-I-N-G-E-R, and Jeremy.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know you've been making the media rounds. I'm sure that's been incredibly busy for you on top of having two little ones to look after. So appreciate you making the time today and really, really looking forward to seeing not only how this podcast blesses people, but to really see what the future holds. I think what your message right now, given the state of the world, everything else is incredibly important, especially kind of given this, the nature of religious deconstruction, all that. So thank you again for making the time, and I wish all the best for you both.
Thank you so much thank for you having guys. Us.
Absolutely. All right. So thank you all for listening. And we'll talk to you next time on Cultish, where we enter into the kingdom of the cults. Talk to you guys soon.